Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to learn the halachas of guarding against danger and preventing destruction of property. This is Simon Kuf Tzadi, which is 190 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at three basic concepts today. Number one is fences. Number two is dangerous items. And number three is care for health and possessions. What is the mitzvah regarding the roof of one's house? So if one has a roof that people frequent going up on, there is a mitzvah, a commandment to build a fence around the roof. As it says, V'asisa ma'akeh legagecha, you will make a fence for your roof. How high must the fence be and how strong? So the fence must be at a height of 10 tefachim, 10 hadrez, which is roughly around 35, 36 inches high, and strong enough that if a man leans on it, it will not fall. That will guard the person from falling. Are all rooftops obligated in the mitzvah? The answer is no. If a roof is not used ever, nobody ever regularly goes up there, then there's no responsibility to have a fence around it. We're talking about the roofs that people do frequent as well. Besides rooftops, where else must one install protective fencing? So any place on the property that poses a danger or fatal injury, like let's say there's a pit, a well, in today's day and age, a swimming pool, must be secured with a fence or a covering. This does not make a difference whether one has children or grandchildren coming or not. This is, one has an obligation to have a fence around one's pool, irrespective. It may not be as attractive. This is a halacha, it's a Jewish a halacha from the Torah as well. What is the consequence of failing to install necessary safety items? The Torah says, Lo yisasim damim b'vaisecha. God forbid something happens, don't place blood in your house. Let your house not be the place of blood as well. Does a person need to do this themselves? The Kitzur does not address this, but it is interesting to note. The Minchas Asher of Asherwas has a discussion of this and points out that this particular mitzvah is an outcomes-based mitzvah, not a process-based mitzvah, which means the point over here is having a fence, not making the fence, which means in this particular case, hiring it out to somebody else to do it who can do a much better job than you is appropriate. So you're allowed to hire somebody, a contractor, to make that fence for you. You do not have to do it yourself. Make sure that somebody's doing it in a way that it is the best kind of fence that you can have. We move to our second concept, and that is dangerous items. Is there a mitzvah to remove other life-threatening hazards besides fences? The answer is yes. It's a mitzvah to eliminate anything that poses a potential danger. How do we know this? Because the Torah says, Hishamar lecha u'shmar nafshecha me'od. Guard yourselves and make sure to guard yourself very diligently. The Torah puts in the word me'od, diligently, excellently. Can you give sort of examples of this? So a broken ladder, a vicious dog, anything which could pose a threat is something which needs to be removed. We could ask a philosophical question and say, wait a second, wasn't this person going to be harmed anyway? Meaning to say, Hashem had a plan to this person. So like it's immaterial as to what I did about my offense or my item or whatever else it was. And the answer is, technically speaking, yes, but the Torah already addresses that by saying, put a fence around your roof, ki pol hanofel mimeno, lest the person who will fall from it, which means the Torah says, yes, it may be that this person was destined to fall, God forbid, but don't let your property, don't be the cause for that. This is what the Gemara calls in Makos Daf Yud, what's called megalgalin choyv al yedei chayav. Do not be a bit of the vehicle, do not be the one to be the channel through which Hashem exercises justice in this case. You do not want your house, you do not want your property to be this. This is not about liability, this is about spiritual liability. Let's move to our third and last concept, and that is care for health and possessions. What's the Torah's attitude towards preserving one's body and health? So that, as we learned just before in the Pasuk, that it says, Hishamer lecha u'shmor nafshecha me'od, that we need to be very careful to guard our body and our soul. It does not belong to us as well. Is it a mitzvah to guard one's property from waste and destruction? The answer is yes, one must protect any of one's property from ruin or waste, just as one protects their body. Isn't this just, that doesn't sound like the same prohibition. The answer is yes, it is a different prohibition. It's Baal Tashchis, they say, Tzar, where the Torah tells us not to destroy things wantonly. So what type of things are included in this? So it's not just cutting down fruit trees, it's destroying one's utensils, tearing garments, ruining food, drink, polluting useful items, throwing away money, spoiling anything useful to people. This is all included in the notion of Baal Tashchis as well. It's worthwhile noting that there are exceptions for specific use and benefit and financial gain, but it means say wanton destruction. We learn this also from Yaakov Avinu that night when he goes across the Ma'avor Yabok, he goes back for the Pachim Ketanim. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chulin, which says that we see that here Mikan Shetzadikim Chavivunayim Gufa Mamonim Yosemi Gufa, and they care very much about their property. They realize that everything they were given is given to them, and they do not have the consumer perspective of being able to just throw it away.
as if it doesn't really necessarily matter. So the Torah is pretty progressive when it came to environmentalism. This was long before it became in vogue, you know, which took humanity a few thousand years to catch up. But Jews are supposed to be aware, attentive to these things. They're not supposed to be in as part of a consumer society which uses and just and chucks. A person is supposed to think of these things as well. So worthwhile noting, and close with this, the Rambam says that the testimony of a person about themselves in a capital case is not admissible in court. So if a person, God forbid, claims they did something which would warrant the death sentence, that's not admissible in court. The Rambam ultimately says that it's because of Gzeiras HaMelech, based on a pasuk, that it's the way Hashem wanted the system to work. However, the Radvaz makes a very interesting point. The Radvaz on that Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin says that it's the reason is because a person is not in charge of their body. A person's body is a lease. They're not in charge of their body, and therefore they have to return the lease at the end, and they don't have the right to tattoo it, to mutilate it, to cut it, to destroy it. And the same goes as well with one's property as well, as we're seeing through the notion of Bal Tashchis, that we're given certain things, we're given leases, we have to use them correctly and return them correctly as well. And this has implications halachically and spiritually. Have a wonderful and meaningful